For those of yesterday, we pointed out there's a difference between a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni. The Gemara says in the third breath, when we said a Shabbos, that Bishul can only be accomplished in a Kli Rishon. The tefach is Kli Sheni and a Mevasha. Once the food, the contents of the food have been removed from the first pot into a bowl, then there's no Isra Bishul whatsoever. That's what the simple reading of the Gemara is. At the end of the day, the Rishonim qualified the Gemara based on two considerations. Number one, Taisa said that maybe Midrabanan is Bishul and a Kli Sheni. And the Sefer Yerayim says that maybe even Midarais is Bishul and a Kli Sheni. If it's Kali HaBishul, if it's something which is very easily cooked, like the Mishnah says in the end of Masechta Shabbos, since we don't quite know what's considered to be Kali HaBishul and what's not, therefore in the fact we have to be Machmer and everything. So for the combination of these two reasons, the Halacha, we assume that there is a problem with Bishul and Kli Sheni. So the Gemara says Kli Sheni ain't Mevashal, and the Mice, it's not true. At the end of the day, the Kli Sheni is a Cheshash HaBishul. We ended up the Sheni yesterday by pointing out that even though the Halacha would treat a Kli Sheni pretty much like a Kli Rishon, it's not exactly the same. One is Mamish Bishul Gomer Midarais Abelisha Safek, and the other is questionable, they're abundant, Safek, Chomer, etc. So it's important for us to know what is a Kli Rishon, what is a Kli Sheni, because they're going to come up Kaminas Ladina in terms of other Shahs that come up. Shahs are going to come up in terms of Bishul. The Kli Rishon, we're not going to have any maneuvering to be Mako. The Kli Sheni, we may be able to midstar certain Kulas, if we're dealing with Kli Sheni. So what is a Kli Rishon, what exactly is a Kli Sheni? So Taisus, in a few places, in Tzachim, and in Tzvachim, and Shabbos, raises the following question. Normally we think that Kli Rishon is the pot that was on the fire, either literally on the fire now or one time was on the fire, and the bowl is which had never been on the fire. The contents have already been poured in. What about a midstream? What's the status of the food or the hot soup when it's in the process of pouring out of the Kli Rishon? Has it yet landed in the Kli Sheni? That's considered to be Iroi. So what's the status of Iroi? Is the food in the transit considered to have the chumras of the Kli Rishon, or is the food once it leaves the Kli Rishon, even though it hasn't entered the Kli Sheni yet, already takes on the characteristics of the Kli Sheni? Let's say I have raw food in a bowl and I want to pour hot water right out of an urn, out of a tea kettle, out of a soup pot or something, onto the raw food. Is that considered to be halachically cooking in a Kli Rishon? So if you hold that Iroi is like a Kli Rishon, then it only becomes a Kli Sheni once it hits the soup bowl, but before it hits the soup bowl, it's already mevashal the raw food on the bottom. So if you hold that Iroi is dinner to Kli Rishon, that's going to be a serious problem, maybe even in a Torah. If you hold that Iroi is Kli Sheni, that means it's not so important that it has to enter into the bowl into the bowl itself, but once it exits the Kli Rishon, it's already ois Kli Rishon. So then that would be tantamount to cooking Kli Sheni, which Meikra then would be Mutter. So where do we draw the line? What's the line of demarcation between the Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni? What's the status of the food in the middle, in the interim, between exiting the Kli Rishon, not yet landing in the Kli Sheni? That's called Iroi. Is that called Dina Kli Rishon? Is that called Dina Kli Sheni? So Taisus brings Raya's back and forth from Sugas and Zvachim to try to figure out what the story is. At the end of the day, there seem to be three sheikhs in the Rishon and what the answer to this question is. So the Rashbam is quoted by Taisus in a few places by saying that Iroi is Dina Kli Sheni. Once the hot water exits the walls of the Kli Rishon, it's ois Kli Rishon, Slavish Kli Sheni. According to the Rashbam, we'll be Gaval Kukula. Let's say you want to make yourself a cup of tea. The Ikra did, according to the Gemara, the Kli Sheni is Einim of Ashel. So if you want to take hot water out of a tea kettle and pour it onto a tea dish, that should be Hetagomor. Because once the water leaves the tea kettle, it's already no longer Kli Rishon water. It's not Kli Sheni water. And Kli Sheni, Einim of Ashel, that would be according to the Rashbam. And it's a Vipassana way, but that would be according to the Rashbam. But comes Taisus and says that no, maybe the exact opposite is true. Maybe Iroi is Dinuk Kli Rishon, that it still retains the status of the Kli Rishon until it actually lands in the Kli Sheni proper. That's the Yesh Mefarshim Taisus quotes. And then Taisus quotes the middle ground. It's probably Shittas Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam said that Iroi is somewhere in the middle, but Iroi is not quite a Kli Rishon that's Mevashel entirely. On the other hand, it's not quite a Kli Sheni that it's at the Gomor. It's Mevashel Kedei Klipa. That Iroi has the ability to cook the outermost part of the food. The klipa is a term, those of you here, they are very well familiar with the term for the klipa. The klipa appears in different sugyas in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, in Yerodea, where we refer to a cooking that's taking place on the outermost part of the food rather than something that permeates the entire food. So say, according to the Shittas Rabbeinu Tam, if you pour hot water onto a tea bag, so it's not going to cook through the entire tea bag, it's going to cook through the outermost part of the tea bag. The only problem is, the outermost part is also bishul, the outermost part of the tea leaves. So that's going to be a problem. Post can say you don't say that the outermost part is the bag, because if you look at the tea bag, so it's perforated. So the hot water hits the leaves, and the leaves, which are raw, are getting cooked right away. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, that would be a problem, Bishul Min HaTorah. So again, so three possibilities in the Rishonim. What's the story with Iroi? Is Iroi Mevashel Mamash a klirishon, is the iroi dinik like a klisheni, or is the iroi somewhere in the middle? That's the bashak that they cleave, but which for all practical purposes is going to be problematic for us. How do we pass in the halachos? So what appears that most of the poskim assume like the middle ground of a minatam, that it is mevashal kidei klipa, which again in Ofos Shabbos poses problems for us. In Ofos Kashrus, maybe a little bit different, there are important ramifications of, but in terms of Ofos Kashrus, so that's going to cause problems for us. So we assume that Iru is still some degree mevashal, either mevashal akul, but some rishonim, or at least such is going to be mevashal kidei klipa. There is a second important question that Nachman discussed in terms of defining properly what's a klivisha, what's a klisheni, and that's what's called the dover gush. This is a chumra of the Maharshal. The Maharshal suggested that b'medav amamurim that we have distinctions between klivisha and klisheni. That's what we're talking about liquids. For those who remember first day of chemistry, liquids take the shape of the container. So when you have a hot pot of soup, so kozman that it's in the pot is considered to be klivisha. Pour it into the bowl, and then the walls of the bowl take over, like we spoke a little bit about yesterday, the funnest makaros. The cold walls of the klisheni take over and start to begin the process of cooling the soup down, and therefore the soup is considered to be like klisheni soup. But says the Mashal, what if you take a hot potato or a hot piece of meat, and you take it out of a pot and you put it onto a plate? So there are no walls of anything, there are no the funnest makaros. That's a davagush, that's a solid piece of food. So when you have a solid piece of food, it's still considered to be klirishon. Kozman that it's hot. We haven't yet discussed how hot it's hot. So Kozman that it's still considered to be hot, that's considered to be tantamount to cooking a klirishon. What would that mean practically? Let's say take a hot potato out of the chilling pot, and you put it onto a bowl, and then you put it onto another bowl. It's the 15th bowl, but it's still steaming, it's still piping hot. Now you take some raw food or something, some raw spices, and you put the raw food on top of the hot potato, and the spices start to heat up, they start to melt up. So according to the Maharshal, that would be Bishul Deraisa, because the kula of klisheni doesn't make any sense when it comes to Devagush. Because the Maharshal seems to be going with Tosis as far from yesterday, that the whole difference between klirishon and klisheni is just a function of the funnest makaros. The kozman, you don't have the actual funnels, which are taking the shape of the, which are giving form to the shape of the liquid, so then the whole concept of klisheni falls by the wayside. Perhaps according to some of the other reasons that we gave yesterday to define the difference between klirishon and klisheni, maybe we would reject this chumra of the Maharshal. The Ramah disagreed with the Maharshal. What was his brother-in-law or cousin? He's related to the Maharshal. The Ramah disagreed with the Maharshal. The Ramah Yerodeh writes that a davar gush is also subject to the rules of klirishon and klisheni. So we try the chachilu to be machmir for this one. And Avraham writes in the Shabbos that we should try to be machmir for this Maharshal, at least in the Shabbos, and we try to treat the davar gush as a klirishon. At least with Torah's chumra, we'll see as we go on some of the practical ramifications of that. Then you have a few other shailas as to what's considered to be a klirishon, what's considered to be a klisheni. Classic klirishon and klisheni means you have a tea kettle, and you have hot water sitting in the kettle. Now I take the kettle off the fire, and I pour it into a cup. So that's the classic, that's the Mishnah's example. It's a classic example of water that became no longer klirishon, now it's klisheni. But in the case of the tea kettle, you already removed the tea kettle from the fire. You picked the klirishon off the fire, and now you pour it into a klisheni, so that's considered to be regular klisheni. What if you kept the tea kettle on the fire at all times, and somehow you figured out a way to maneuver to get the water out of the tea kettle while it's still mechubah to the edge, while it's still sitting on the fire? So the chazanisha has a chumra that that's not considered to be klisheni water anymore. Whatever something is mechubah to the edge, whatever it's considered to be one connecting system, so anything that's still mechubah to the edge is still considered to be klirishon. So what would it then be? You have a tea kettle sitting on the fire, you tilted it over somehow, you stuck a tube into the tea kettle, you figured out a way to get the water to come out of the tea kettle into the cup, but the tea kettle was never removed from the fire. So the Chazanish says, so the tea kettle is still a klirishon, and the water in the cup is also a klirishon, because the water in the cup is mechubah to the tea kettle, which is mechubah to the yesh, so it's all considered to be a klirishon. What would the ramifications of this Chazanish be? So the most important ramifications for us would be urns. According to the Chazanish, so an urn is a klirishon. There's a heating element on the bottom of the urn, so that's like a fire. That's a klirishon. So all the water in an urn is a klirishon. When I stick my cup under the urn or the water comes out, I haven't yet removed the water from the klirishon. The water is still sitting in the urn, which is the water in the urn is still connected to the coil, so it's still klirishon. And the water in the cup is vayta klirishon, because it's all mechubayachat. That's not the case of the tea kettle. The case of the tea kettle, I took the tea kettle off the fire and I emptied its contents into the cup. Here, it's still all mechubayachat. So the Chazanish argues that would vayta be considered to be a klirishon. So many poskim question this Chazanish. Many poskim disagree with this Chazanish. According to the Chazanish, it's going to have enough gemina levina, both in terms of the Shabbos as well as in terms of the Kashrus. Any time that we speak about doing certain things in the Klishenis or Klishlishis, whatever, Caleb or the Rimater, certain things, and according to Chazanish, if you're taking water from urns, you're always behind one Kli. It means you thought that, everyone thinks that when you make a cup of tea in an urn, everyone thinks you stick your empty cup under the urn, you take the water away. So you think, oh, I have Klisheni water, I can do basically whatever I want, pretty much Minat Torah, everything's mutter in a Klisheni. But comes the Chazanish, says, you don't have Klisheni water, you have Klishen water here. Because the water was heated up, the water was coming from the into the cup from the urn, which is still connected to the coils, to the hot elements. So that's all considered to be clear Rishon water. So again, not everyone accepts this Chazanish. There would be another nafkamina for Chazanish in terms of his kashrus. Those who are involved in the cholov will appreciate this more. There is a big question in the poskim: what happens when you have a fleshik silverware and milchik silverware in the sink, and now you turn on the water? The hot water washes all the fleshik silverware all together. So a lot of the question revolves around what exactly is the status of the water coming out of the sink. Is the water coming out of the sink irik lirishon, or is the water coming out of the sink klirishon mamish? So conventional wisdom was that it's irik lirishon. Why? Because you have a boiler, so the water that's sitting in the boiler down in your basement, that's clear shown. Now the water, once you turn on the sink, so it comes out of the faucet, whatever comes out of the faucet, that's like coming out of a tea kettle. So that's like irik lirishon. So irik lirishon is a little bit more kal than clear shown. Mamish basket. But comes the Chazanish and says, that's not true. That's not irik lirishon because it's all connected to the pipes. It's all, the boiler's on, unless the boiler's off right now. If the boiler's on, so the water that's coming through the pipes is all mechover. It's like one big urn. You can envision your basement as being like a giant urn. The water's coming out of the pipe, and it's coming into your sink. So the water that's filling up in your sink now is clear rishon water. So now you have fleshiks and milchik dishes washing together and boiling hot clear rishon water. That's a very, very serious kashrus problem. It's bad enough, but it would only be irik clear rishon. That would be a little bit of a cooler. I'm not shocking. Those lecholav will remember what I'm talking about. But if you hold like the Chazanish, that the sink is considered like a clear rishon, that's going to be a serious problem. It also chaps enough kamin in terms of kashering a sink. If I have a metal sink, I want to kasher a sink before Pesach. So we have a rule in kashering. You have to kasher something to the same degree that it became trade. So if something became trade for the clear rishon, you have to kasher it in a clear rishon. Something became trade through a irik clear rishon, you have to kasher it to irik clear rishon. So how did a sink become common sink? So I have a pot of noodles. I poured a pot of noodles into the sink, and then I turned the hot water on to wash away the residue. So the hot water is hitting onto the noodles, and it's being mavliya, it's causing the top of the noodles to be belayed to the sink. And I want to use this sink next week for Pesach. So how am I going to get out that bliya of the noodles, of the common sink of noodles? So the same way it came in, that's how it came out. So is it good enough just to take a big pot of boiling water and just pour it onto the all around the sink? If you hold that the bliya was only through Iri in the first place, and that's going to be okay. But if you hold like the Chazanish, that the bliya was worse than that. But the bliya was a clear rishon to bliya. It's not enough just to take a pot of water and to pour it into the sink, because when you take a pot of water and pour it into the sink, that's Iri clear rishon water. Iri clear rishon can't be mashia, something that had a bliya through a clear rishon proper. So according to Chazanish, it's going to become much more problematic. You have to figure out another etza. How to kasher a sink? That's going to open another grandiose plan about how do you kasher a sink properly. But if you don't accept the Chazanish, like many didn't accept the Chazanish, so we're back to square one, that the sink water, when it comes out, is irik lirishon, and the water that comes out of your urn is irik lirishon, therefore when it hits the cup, so it's already considered to be cliche. So there are different opinions about following this Chazanish. Then you have other shailas about lirishon and clichene, and that's the following question: is there such a concept called the klishlishi? Does that concept exist in that locha? So the term klirishon and klisheni appears in the Gemara. The term klishlishi does not appear in the Gemara. To the best of my knowledge, the first source to quote this idea of a klishlishi is a prima gadim. She wrote quotes a prima gadim, it's Sheni Ches, that coined the phrase that performed, but also called a klishlishi. So what exactly is the significance of being a klishlishi? Third time removed. So this was a big machlekes haposkim. So the Chazanish himself raises this question, and other poskim discuss this as well. Is there even such a concept of a kli shlishi? So maybe one could argue that a kli shlishi is meaningless in halacha. The reason why the Gemara and the Rishonim don't discuss it is it doesn't exist. Klisheni means klisheni and above. Anything that's also in a klisheni is also in a kli shlishi. It's also in a kli revi, chamishi, shishi, whatever you consider to be, whatever number kli you're up to, that's called a klisheni. Klisheni just means a kli that's not a kli rishon. All kli misheni lahalon are considered to be like a klisheni. If that would be the case, so we who are nach, we're not to cook in klisheni, either because of the yireim, other reasons. Whatever reasons that we're machmir not to cook in a klisheni, we would have to be machmir not to cook in a klishlishi, revi, chamishi, etc. And others suggest that the Chazish himself raises the possibility that maybe Klish Shlishi does exist. Maybe once you reach the point of Klish Shlishi, so that's already Ois Bishul. That's nothing. That's that even with all the chumras of Kali and Bishul and everything, and the Mexican Vashem, whatever chumras that we had to ask the Klish Shlishi, once you reach Klish Shlishi, that's mamish nothing. Nothing happens at Klish Shlishi. No halachi Bishul whatsoever happens at Klish Shlishi, and therefore everything is mutter in Klish Shlishi. So big machlekes at Poskim. It was a suffix in the Chazanish. In the later Poskim, Rav Moshe was met, there was not the lahapa on this. Rav Moshe thought there is such a concept called the Kli Shlishi, and the Rav thought there's no such thing. The Rav thought that there's a Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni, and that's it. Ad Kad Vel Yoseh. Anything past Kli Sheni is just right. There's also considered to be a Kli Sheni. So this could have nafka minas ladina. Certain things that we refrain from doing in Kli Shenis, will we permit to do them in Kli Shlishi or not? So let's just give us an example, just to highlight some of these things: Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Kli Shlishi, Iru, etc. We'll give you a common example that we referred to before. That's the issue of making tea on Shabbos. What would that look be if a person wants to make tea straight from a tea bag? So we'll talk a little bit later. We'll talk about Ein B'Shalach HaMishal, about using scents, about if you heat it up, make tea before, and then you want to reheat it. That's a whole different story. But I want to talk about the real McCoy. Make tea, mamish, from a regular tea bag on Shabbos. So a tea bag has tea leaves inside. The tea leaves have not yet been cooked, even though they've been processed in the factory a little bit, but halachically they haven't really been cooked up. So we assume that tea leaves are raw and they're potentially subject to, the Shtavura says, would be a problem of Bishul Deraisa. So what's the worst case scenario for making tea on Shabbos? Imagine if a person would make tea in a Kli Rishon Mamish. So what would that mean? So you have a pot of water sitting on the fire and you put some tea leaves inside, put a tea bag into the pot of water on the fire. Not the way normal people make tea that way. If you would do that, that would be Bishul Deraisa. Okay, that's not true. Then you'd be Chayav for Bishul. That would be Bishul Deraisa. Cooking in a Kli Rishon. Kli Rishon Agave Eishes Deraisa. What if a little bit more realistic, that you take the hot water off the fire, and you have a pot of hot water sitting on the counter, and you throw out tea bags inside that? So we assume that's also going to be Bishul Deraisa. We shall be, it'll be Bishul Deraisa. We don't follow that. We shall be Pashas. We would hold that's also Bishul Deraisa. So put tea bags into a Kli Rishon is absolutely out of the question. Most people don't make tea that way. What about to make tea in a Derech Iri Kli Rishon? What would that halacha be about that? So I mentioned before, it's a machlokes three ways in the Rishonim. So according to the Rashbam, it would be mutar lechatchila. You're allowed to take hot water from a tea kettle and pour it onto the tea leaves. That would be hetar gomer according to the Rashbam. Even the Rashbam may concede that to take water from an urn and do it that way may be a problem. And the Chazanish is right that the water that's coming into the urn is not irur kli rishon, but rather the water that's coming into the urn is kli rishon mamish. It is all mechuba in the cup is mechuba to the urn. That would be awesome in the rice, even according to the Rashbam. So the Chazanish is right, so the Rashbam would only permit making tea, pouring out of a tea kettle. But we don't follow the Rashbam. We're chayshish for Rabbeinu Tam, for the other days in Taisus, that there is a real problem of Bishul in Iri Kli Rishon. Either it's Bishul for the Klipa, which would be enough of it to be a problem in making tea, or it's Bishul Kula, like the other day in Taisus. So there's no way we're going to permit pouring water neither from an urn nor from a tea kettle onto a tea bag. So onto an urn, from an urn is even more chomer. And even from a tea kettle, to pour directly water from a tea kettle onto a tea bag, that's out of the question on Shabbos. We should do it right. That those who do that, there would be mamash shalad derais. According to many Rishonim, there would be a violation of Bishul Gomer mid derais if they would take hot water from a tea kettle and pour it directly onto a not yet used a tea bag on Shabbos. That's absolutely out of the question. What would be the other person did that? Would the tea be permissible or not? So the Magen Avraham writes that we have a rule. In Tzimut Shin Yud Ches, that called Maisa Shabbos. That's the whole sugya in the Gemara and Chulin and Git and Shabbos. If a person cooks on Shabbos, so in certain circumstances, he or others are not permitted to eat the food, depending on whether it's maize, it's shugig, Shabbos, but so Shabbos, a lot of very complicated. The sugya is what's called Maisa Shabbos. So comes the Magen Avraham and says that the Magen Avraham Amurim, that we ask the Maisa Shabbos, that's only when it's something which is also the Chol HaDeis. It's something that was a machloikis, but it was mutter to do. There's some Mishael who say, you'll have to do the Chachimra. So, Ad Kedei Kach, we're not going to ask it, but the Evet, the whole list of Maisa Shabbos is only Midi Rabbanus. There's one day in the Gemara that says that if a person cooked on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat that food Midi Raisa. That was one opinion according to one Tanner, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. But the Gemara, we don't pass like that. We pass that Maisa Shabbos is only a knas, penalty Midi Rabbanan. The Magen Avraham says we only penalize a person who did an aveir, which is really also the chaladeis. But if he did something that some Rishonim say is muta, you can't penalize the person afterwards. So the chayr, if you would ask me, I would say that if somebody made tea on Shabbos, that was in the worst case scenario, they poured hot water, mamish directly from a tea kettle onto a tea bag. So according to most Rishonim, they violated Bishul Deraisa. But since according to the Rashbam's reputation to make tea that way, the chachilifim. I don't think the Rashbam was so tea. You don't find any of the Rishonim talk about tea. You only find the tea and coffee spoken about by the Achronim for a very simple reason, that the Rishonim didn't have tea and coffee. It came from the Far East, so it took a little while until it made it over to Europe. So you don't find the Rishonim didn't talk about the tea, they talk about coffee, they talk about chocolate, all the things that we're familiar with, because they never saw any of these things. The Shulchan Aruch talks about food that's called, talks about food that's called muz. So the Polish people in Europe didn't have any idea what he was talking about. They didn't know what muz is. So now we know what muz is today. Muz is the Arabic word for a banana. So we know exactly what Shulchan Aruch had bananas. The Vilnagon never saw a banana. The Ramon never saw a cracker. The bananas in a grill. They didn't know what it was. But anyway, get back to the story. It used to be in Hebrew. In the beginning, it's in modern Hebrew, so they used to call bananas mus. Then later it became banana. But the original, my father said, he remembers as a little boy when they used to teach them, Hebrew, like conversational Hebrew in the 1930s, and they used to teach him, they used to say the word mus instead of banana. Anyway, getting back to this story. So according to the Rashbam, it's put lechatchila to make tea in this way. So the lechayr, if you plug in the rule of the Magen Avraham, there shouldn't be anything wrong with the yevin if you went ahead and did it. So this was a Maisa Shoei Kapoya that's back. It was quite a few years ago. I was at somebody's house for Shabbos, and by mistake, the daughter made tea. Mom took water out of the kettle and poured it, or the urn, whatever it was, poured it directly onto the tea bag. So when they realized it, so the father asked me, what's the deal now with the tea? You're allowed to drink it. So I said that I think with the average you could drink the tea, because rely on the Mogen Avraham, the Rashbam, etc. So I thought with the average you could drink the tea. So I remember this father said to me, I don't want to live my life with the Yevon, I want to live my life with Hatzchila, so he spilled out the tea. So, what was the significance of that story? So a couple of years later, this fellow's son was in the Parsha Shiduchim, and somebody called me up and he asked me about the family. So I said, I know the family a little bit, I'll tell you the following story. I said, this family is a family that lives their life with Hatzchila, not with the Yevon Jews. So Hatzchila, I don't know whether we ever got married. We got married, I remember we married that girl or not, but that was from the cup of tea. So then a little bit later, I got a Chalisha Das, the Psaq that I had given. Because I think the Chazanish himself writes that you can't rely on the Rashbam even with the Evan. Because the Rashbam's Shita is the Chuyim in Halacha. Now, when do we say that you rely on the Shita with the Evan, Shazal Chav, Knas, whatever it is? That's when the Shita is still viable in Halacha. But if the Shita is the Nidcha Lagamim in Halacha, then you can't rely on it even with the Evan in such a situation. So I felt bad that I had given the Kula in the first place, but I felt okay because they didn't rely on it, they didn't follow the Kula. Then years later, Rabbi Willing said to me he didn't understand the Chazanish. He says, why is the Rashbam doing something in Halacha? Why the heck are they saying it's a pasuk? It doesn't mean that's off the charts. It's Beshamay, but Bacha Bezillah in a Mishnah. You can't rely on Beshamay with the effort. You can't rely on Shittas that the Gemara pasuk is against. Or sometimes if you have such a Shah that everybody, all the Rishonim, but Mamish Derech, Legamah, it's hard for us to judge, because you have to like the Chazanish to judge which Shittas are Mitcham in Halacha Legamah. Whatever it is, whether with the effort you can rely on the Rashbam is a different story. Lechatchila should not make tea this way. So how can you make tea if you can't make a Derech Rishon? And you can't make a derech irikli, so maybe you can make it derech klisheni. Maybe you can pour hot water into a cup and then put the tea bag into the cup. That'll be klisheni. So klisheni and mevashel. So we have a problem because we have two reasons that klisheni is potentially mevashel. Either midrabban it's mevashel, or because it's kali habishel. So here there was a big machlokes that has the following. There is a din that appears in Masechet Shabbos, the Mishnah of Masechet Shabbos, that says that you're permitted lechatchila to take kavla, to take spices, and to put spices into a klisheni. So apparently all the reasons that we have not to pick a klisheni, that they're a bon on a kali abishol, so tavlin somehow are not subject to that. Tavlin doesn't look like a bishol, and tavlin are not from kali abishol. Anything that spices is a mufka from the whole chumrah of kali abishol. That's a beferish mishnah in Masechet Shabbos. So it's quoted over the name of Reb Chaim, and Chaim held that tea is considered to be tavlin. What is tea? What is tavlin? Tavlin is a spice. It gives a little kick to something. So tea gives a kick to the water, basically drinking hot water, with a little bit of a spice, a little bit of taste, the geshmaka taste of the tea in the hot water. So Chaim said that tea is considered to be like tavlin, and therefore the mishnah is the famous that you're allowed to put tavlin in kli sheni. There's no derabbanan involved, there's no kali abishal chashash, so it's mutl lechatchil to make tea in a kli sheni. So Chaim held this way, and Chaim actually did it this way. He used to make tea this way. Chaim held it's mutl lechatchil to take hot water from the tea kettle, pour it into a cup, and then put the tea bag inside. What do you say about urn? I don't know where Chaim held about the Chazanish is called. I don't know. But let's say you have real cliche, it's cliche in the holiday, it's hot water from a tea kettle, put it into a cup, and you want to put a tea bag inside. So according to Reb Chaim, it would be mutl lechatchila. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that that's a chashash of an Issa D'Oraisa of Shabbos, because the Mishnah Berurah didn't buy into this Tavlin story. He said that tea is not considered to be Tavlin. Why is tea not considered to be Tavlin? So Shlomo Zalman writes that he thinks the tablet that Chazal was describing were like big sticks of cinnamon or something, like those big ginger sticks. So then I can understand why that's not Kali Abishma. It's something that's very hard to cook. It's not, it's, to thoroughly cook it through, it takes a lot of heat. Shasha Ein came Tibet, says Shlomo Zalman. Tibet, what kind of Kali Abishma? That's Ein Lecha Kali Abishma Golem. It's a Hara. You can make a perfectly good cup of tea in a Klisheni. So Shlomo Zalman said, Fakir, if anything is Kali Abishma, Tibet is a Kali Abishma. That's the ultimate Kali Abishma. So it's interesting, Machlekes Mishnah Berurah and Shlomo Zalman against Rav Chaim. So the Maaseh Mishnah Berurah said that if a person makes tea in a klisheni, it's a shot of a deraisa. And Chaim held that it was mutter lechemchila. So it's a famous story that you have to ask Rav Shach for the exact details of the lashon of the story. But basically, somebody saw the Rav making a tea in a klisheni on Shabbos. So they pointed out to him that the Mishnah Berurah says that this may be an issa deraisa. So the Rav responded something along the lines of my grandfather also knew how to learn a little bit, or something along the lines of my grandfather was also Shema Shabbos. Whatever the story was, the Rav wasn't impressed with the critique of his grandfather's practice. So those who follow this school of Rav Chaim, follow the Rav and all his chumras, all his kulas, those are talmidim of the Rav. So they make tea in klicheni and Shabbos. Those who are not talmidim of Hakim, don't follow every briska chumra and every briska kula in the world, so they usually don't make tea in a cliche. Most people don't follow the skula. Most people follow conventionalism of the Mishnah Berurah to be chayshish, like the Shlomo Zalman said, that maybe the tea bag taka is a problem with Kali Abishal. So is there any way to make tea heter, just make using a tea bag? So Rav Moshe suggested that maybe you can make tea in a klishlishi. So Rav Moshe thought that klishlishi maybe is mutter. But maybe klishlishi is considered ois bishul agam. It's the chlava is not the correct to be mavashel. So then no kalei bishul chashash is no derabon. Everything is mutter in a klishlishi. So Rav Moshe was mekel, migra din, those who want to be mekel, to make tea in a klishlishi. There are many who didn't want to rely on that. Many wanted it to be machmet. There's also things in a klishlishi. They wanted to follow the Rav's chumah. There's also things klishlishi, but the Rav held you can make it in klisheni. So no matter how you slice it, according to the Rashbam, you can make it in Iran. According to the Rav, you can make it in klisheni. According to Rav Moshe, you can make it in klishlishi. But there are many people who don't want to do any of the above. Many people don't want to make tea b'chol on Shabbos. They want to have pre-made tea. We'll talk about that hopefully with Hashem the next year about what the significance of that in Bishlach HaBishl story is. But those who are making on a klishlishi are relying on Rav Moshe's school. Those who are making tea in a klisheni are relying on Rav Chaim's school. Again, most of us probably don't follow either of them. The most consensus view, I think, of the more contemporary post is to try to avoid both of these schools. They're both questionable schools. But there are grounds for those who want to be mekel, either in a klisheni or klishlishi, the Eroi, the Rishbam was mekel, but that already Lamaisa, Rub the Rishon did not fix. Yeah, so.